Have you ever wondered if you would stay faithful under pressure when it actually costs you something? Today's story reveals what real conviction looks like. Stay tuned. Ave mundis pes Maria. Welcome to Following Padre Pio. We're grateful to all those who quietly helped this apostolate continue reaching souls through prayer, stories of grace, and the spiritual legacy of Padre Pio. Today's story may touch your heart in ways you did not expect. Today is the feast of St. Thomas More, and in light of Padre Pio's advice to read and learn more about the great saints of the Church, I want to share a reflection inspired by Professor Plinio Correa de Oliveira, but also to draw out something that speaks directly to us. Let's dive right in. On July 6, 1535, struck down by English justice, Thomas More died, former member of the English Parliament, former Under-Sheriff of London, former counselor to the King, raised to the rank of nobleman and knighted, one of the most famous writers of his time, and author to an immortal work, Utopia. Sentenced to death, the court ordered that his belly be opened and his entrails torn out. But the kindness of Henry VIII had softened the penalty to beheading. On the appointed day, the execution took place. For a moment, the weapon held in the trembling hands of the executioner gleamed in the summer sun. The head of the condemned man fell to the ground. It was finished. He was paying for a heinous crime, the crime of being Catholic. Notice the irony Professor Plinio so subtly underscores. The king's kindness is still butchery. In King Henry's England, to be a faithful Catholic was to be a criminal. And in a different form, isn't that still happening today? Maybe no heads roll in public squares, but the pressure hasn't disappeared. It just changed its shape into mockery, marginalization, and sometimes even cancellation. But let's get back to the story. Thomas More's life had always been a brilliant ascent, in which glory and power seemed to run towards him, though he despised them, fixing his gaze on another happiness, one that the instability of politics and the tyranny of the king could not take from him. While still young, his noble soul was drawn by the mystical charm of a Benedictine monastery where he wished to become a priest. But providence led him along other paths. While he was forced to reduce the time devoted to theology, his preferred field, to make room for philosophy, his father's will intervened, compelling him to set aside these cherished studies to devote himself to the study of law at Oxford. Obediently, Thomas More complied. At the renowned University of Oxford, he acquired outstanding legal knowledge. For this reason, the doors of politics and Parliament opened before him, and through them he entered. It was at the height of his brilliant career that Henry VIII confronted him with a tragic dilemma. Adhere to the Protestant heresy or experience the king's wrath. This was the crucial moment of his life. On one side, life smiling upon him. On the other, conscience pointing out the path of duty. He did not hesitate. He resigned his office and withdrew into private life. It was then that a royal anger struck him. Led to prison, he underwent various interrogations, in which this defender of the papacy showed an energy, a greatness of soul, and a detachment worthy of the martyrs of the early Christian ages. When he was told that the king's displeasure meant death, More nobly replied, "Between you and I, there is only one difference. I shall die today, and you tomorrow." The story continues. Imprisoned in the Tower of London for a year, ill, deprived of the supreme comfort of the sacraments, everything conspired against his fidelity. His family was reduced to such poverty that they had to sell court garments just to provide the minimal food needed to keep more from starving to death in prison. During the endless interrogations, they sought to convict him of high treason. But Moore did not allow himself to be ensnared, and with the calm firmness of a pure soul, uttered this sentence that sums up his entire defense. "I am faithful to the king. I harm no one, nor do I slander anyone. If this is not enough to save a man's life, I do not wish to live any longer." Finally, he closed the windows of his cell and remained in darkness, meditating on death, until the day came when he was to drink the final drop of the chalice. He walked towards martyrdom with the naturalness of one fulfilling a duty. He even showed 2 moments of unmistakable English humor. Seeing that the scaffold's ladder was unsteady, he asked the executioner to help him up. As for coming down, he added jokingly, "I will manage myself." After embracing the executioner, he knelt and asked him for a moment to arrange his beard. Then, joking again, he said, "Do not cut it. It has committed no crime." He prayed and surrendered his great soul to God. The humor is the mark of a free man. A terrified man cannot joke. A bitter man cannot embrace his executioner. This is what following Christ really looks like, and the church recognized this, though it took 4 centuries. Thomas More was canonized by Pope Pius XI on May 19, 1935, recognizing his 1535 martyrdom for refusing to acknowledge King Henry VIII as the head of the Church of England. He was declared the patron saint of statesmen and politicians, by Pope John Paul II in the year 2000. In closing, I would like to say this. Our fidelity is rarely, if ever, tested in comfort. It's tested when holding your ground begins to cost you something, when silence would be easier, when compromise presents itself as the reasonable option. And perhaps some of you listening today know exactly what that feels like. Maybe your struggle is not with kings or prisons, but with discouragement, loneliness, family burdens, temptations, or the quiet pressure to compromise your faith little by little. This is one of the reasons the Protected Children of Padre Pio prayer family exists. Not simply to support these videos, but to remind people they do not walk alone spiritually. Your intentions and loved ones are remembered in prayer and holy masses, and together we place our burdens under Padre Pio's intercession. If your heart feels drawn towards that deeper spiritual companionship and prayer, we warmly invite you to learn more through the link below. And here's what I think is worth noting. St. Thomas More's strength did not come from stubbornness or spite. It came from an interior union with Christ that had already been built long before the trial arrived. So when the pressure came, he wasn't trying to become faithful in that moment. He was simply living out what had already taken root in him. So, what am I aiming at? That to remain steady when things get difficult, that stability has to be formed now, in prayer, in small acts of devotion, in choosing truth when it still feels easy. Because when the trial comes, and it will, in one form or another, we don't suddenly invent courage. We draw from what's already there. So today, as we remember St. Thomas More, maybe the takeaway is this. Fidelity isn't built in the moment of crisis. It's formed long before, through a relationship with Christ that no pressure can overturn. Thank you for spending this time with us today. If this reflection on St. Thomas More touched your heart, please subscribe and continue journeying with us through the spiritual legacy of Padre Pio. And if you feel called to become part of our prayer family as a protected child of Padre Pio, you'll find a link below. May St. Thomas More, Our Lady, and Padre Pio intercede for you always. God bless you.